Deanna Spingola. Our guest today is Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. And speaking of the protocols, you may listen to Lindsay, one of our wonderful listeners, read the protocols. He has a wonderful, easy-to-listen-to voice. And you may listen to those by going to Spingola.com and just click on the button that says, listen to Lindsay, read the protocols, or something of that nature. So anyway.
Yes, Joseph Nassai. He was, he and his mother went to the Sultan, and they began a campaign to get basically noticed by the Sultan. They were successful, and they were appointed, again, nobility positions as Jews. Now, Nassai then lobbied the Sultan to get the Jews resettled in the empire, resettled to Palestine with the stated object of creating a Jewish state there under Ottoman suzerainty. So the idea was that the Ottomans had a policy of, with Spanish Jews, with any Spanish Jews that came to them were then moved into an economically poor area. And the idea was that they would then invigorate this economically poor area with all their wealth, their, in quotes, talents, and that kind of thing. It didn't often work very well, but that was the theory. It's also where, for example, the Greek population, so the heavy Jewish population of Salonika comes from. It's from that policy. Okay. The idea was to move a large amount of Jews down into Palestine, around the town of Safed, which had long been a very strong Jewish center, even after the expulsion of the Jews from Palestine by Hadrian.
Okay, and you're talking about their expulsion from Spain about 1492, and then they went into Palestine and made a deal with the Sultan.
Yes, more or less.
Okay. That's how we got that big group in Salonika.
Yep, that's how you got that big group in Salonika. It was a stated Ottoman policy before Nassai turned up to move large amounts of Jews to economically poor areas in order to invigorate them, in quotes. It's something that's been suggested as an origin for Stalin, actually, of all things. Although it's incorrect, but it's nevertheless, it's interesting that someone, the person was Maurice Pinay, I do believe, came up with a theory that could have indeed been the case. It's just interesting that you get these as early Zionist movements, and again, you get the same thing going on throughout Jewish history. A lot of Jews have emigrated to Palestine as part of a mitzvah because they want to be closer to the land of the Torah and so forth. And it's Zionism in this sense, it has a long Jewish tradition, but it's only from Herzl and much earlier from Moses Hess, who was a friend of Karl Marx as well, that you get this idea of a kind of a specifically Jewish nationalism rather than an idea just to create a Jewish homeland under someone else's rule, per se. I mean, Winston Churchill, for example, thought that the Jews would be happy to work under British rule as kind of a British colony. This would never have happened, but that was one of Churchill's standing reasons for supporting the Jews as much as he did, because he believed that the Jews would be like the Arabs, that they would be a useful tool in keeping the natives in check, if you like. So that if the Arabs revolted, the Jews could then deal with the Arabs and offer a kind of a base for the British to then deal with the Arabs as well.
Right. All righty, we are taking a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in seven different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Carl Rattle, the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticControversies.blogspot.com, and we will accept calls at 800-313-9443. And it's very interesting that those Jews that settled in Salonika also became part of the Young Turks later on.
Yeah, we get the same situation occurring where Jews begin over time to become acclimatized. They become part of the infrastructure. I mean, in the Ottoman Empire, a large portion of the financial system, as well as the customs system, mind you, were in the hands of Jews, to the extent where the imperial customs system's official language was Hebrew. The fact that was the case is pretty damning in itself of just how many Jews there were in the area at the time. One of the more interesting things, though, is that Herzl actually mentions Turkey in his De Judenstadt as it happens. He specifically says, if we created this Jewish state in Palestine, we could run the finances of Turkey, the finances of the East, for them, and we would do very, very well for it, and that it would be a weapon in our position between East and West, and where the Jews would be in a position to bargain between the East and the West, and would be in a position where they would be able to control the discourse between the two, and would thus be safe because no one would attack them, that they'd be kind of a Switzerland of the world. A role, in fact, they actually held previously when they were, during the Crusades, I should say, when they were the primary agents who brought the goods between the East and the West during when the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims were fighting each other in the Middle East. The Jews were the ones who took the treaties back and forth. They acted as confidential agents to both rulers. They gave finances to both. They financed both rulers, and they kind of worked from there. It was only with the rise of the Templars and others who were then able to finance the Jews independently of finance the Crusades independently. The Jewish role in it kind of began to die down a bit, but nevertheless, the Jews in the 16th century also began to sort of dominate German finances as well, to the point where the Jews controlled nearly all the high financial trade in Germany, were only replaced later by the Fuggers, the imperial bankers. But they also controlled a very large portion of the local financing as well. So quite often it would be a village Jew would be the money lender, would be the person who had all the money, and as a peasant or a local lord, you would go to them to get a loan or to get some kind of, hard currency if you needed it. This is the kind of situation you got in, and it's true across the board to a large extent, whereby you have a situation where the Jews are controlling banking, they're controlling the money, and only later do Christians and non-Jews come in and begin to compete against the Jews. And when they begin to compete against the Jews begin to complain of anti-Semitism, which, again...
How typical.
Yeah, you actually find a direct quote in the Protocols and in Herzl on this, which says very, very simply, Herzl says, only repression reawakens in us the sense of belonging to our lineage. The anti-Semites also work for us. They only have to continue along their path, and the desire of the Jews to emigrate will awaken where it is yet to be and will be reinforced where it is already present. And then the Protocol says, again, in Protocol 1, anti-Semitism is necessary to guide our younger brothers. Now, again, direct parallels. Again, we can directly link that to history. We can see that it is that in places where the Jews are disliked, Jews have a tendency, it kind of creates a spiral. Jews do something, people don't like the Jews, that creates resentment. The Jews increasingly don't like anyone else, more than they did before anyway. And then they start doing things. For example, the ritual murders, the Hostus Creations, again, all of which are actually verifiable. The Hostus Creations, as Eliot Horowitz has pointed out in his excellent book, Reckless Rites, which is 2007 Princeton University Press, the fact is that the Jews certainly did these things, because we know that because we have records of the Jews doing them throughout history. There is no break, if you will, between the ancient world and the medieval to early modern worlds, as is commonly asserted. What actually had happened is that there were very, very few Jews in Europe at the time. So there weren't very many of them. They didn't tend to have the impact they had, but then if you look down to the Islamic world, the Byzantine world, and the world of North Africa, as well as Spain, you find the same things going on. You find host desecration trials, and you find violence by Jews, for example, Jews whipping crosses, killing people, attacking processions, and that kind of thing. So it's a kind of situation where you have the Jews are themselves causing problems and then promptly blame everyone else for that problem and sort of assert that they never did anything wrong at all because they're Jews and they're apparently exempt from historical rules as a kind of rule of thumb. And I have no idea why a lot of scholars tend to do this, precisely because we apply the rules of scholarship on any other group, regardless of who they are or what they claim. When it comes to Jews, it gets very silly, because we start saying, well, because, for example, I'll quote Ronald Florence, who's an author on the blood libel, or the Jewish ritual murder, when he said, very simply, the Jews could not have committed ritual murder because the Mosaic laws told them they couldn't. Well, Christians can't commit murder then, can they?
Yes.
By exactly the same logic. It's that kind of assertion that you get in and around this kind of topic, where this thing can't possibly be true because it addresses the Jews. And right. It's kind of a historical bugbear of a sort, or a shibboleth, I'm not sure which.
Interesting. We do have some callers. Why don't we take a call? Let's take Art in Philadelphia. Art?
Thank you for taking my call, Deanna. One thing that interests me, what you were talking about, was the issue of the people in Sri Lanka. This, I see, is directly connected to the out-of-control immigration in this country through the H-1B visa program. Being a headhunter and a recruiter of IT professionals, I've been approached over the years by over 25 different Indian companies, and they said, we want you to, you know, replace Americans with our foreign labor. And I says, well, how do you get the contracts? And this was said to me 25 times, not by 25 different companies. And he says, what we do is we pay off everybody. I said, well, tell me how you really do it. Well, we set it up in Sri Lanka. We basically set up the management with kickbacks. So say, for instance, they're hiring an American contractor for $60 an hour. They'll say to, because they're using cheaper labor, we'll replace them. You as a manager, you can replace them for $40 an hour, and you're saving your company $20 an hour. But it really only costs $30 an hour, and we're going to send you $10 an hour in an offshore account in Sri Lanka and give you a credit card. Okay? So just one person times 2,000 hours, that's $20,000 a person. Okay? How many people over here have offshore credit card accounts and offshore accounts in Sri Lanka that are directly related to what you're talking about there that's destroying, I would say, a minimum of 5 million American jobs right now is being destroyed by that banking industry in Sri Lanka. And we saw it blow up with Raj Ratnam and Rajat Gupta, who were the two guys at the top of this corruption going on with Sri Lanka and paying off the management inside of American companies and also politicians. Bill Clinton and his wife were directly involved with the job outsourcing, too, through this direction. I was wondering if he saw that, because that's a major, when you talk about Sri Lanka and these people over there, that's a major reason why this economy is being destroyed right now. I'd like to hear some feedback on that.
All righty. We were talking about Salonika, and Salonika. I think you're referring to Sri Lanka.
Yes, okay.
A different place.
Different place, but I bet it's the same people. What do you
probably
think, Carl?
It's quite possible. Do you happen to know who the people who are operating it from the other side are, by the chance?
Well, for
of this particular scam,
Tut is one of them. Tut is a big Indian consulting firm. They're a big one that is involved with a lot of payoffs and kickbacks. There's InfoPro, WinPro, or some of the others. And they don't use the Indian banking. They use the Sri Lanka banks to do this. And, you know, there's a lot of multimillionaires who are managers in companies. Some of the companies know it at the top, and some of them don't know it, but their middle managers are getting kickbacks like this. Maybe running a small business, I see it from competing against it. That's what I was trying to see. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know anything about that per se. I just know that... The only thing I'd say is that potentially you do have a Jewish angle in there, because there is a Jewish community in India. There is what we call Jews of Kerala, and they may be involved, and they certainly were in Old Ceylon, which is Sri Lanka, or what it was formerly called anyway. So they could be involved in that, and it's pretty damning that they're doing that. And of course, the question is, how many of these companies have or middle management are themselves Jewish, or are they, you know, what's their motive other than profit?
It's simply to get kickbacks. That's how it works.
Okay, Art, stay on over the break, and we'll be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Our guest today is Carl Rattle, the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com, and we have Art in Philadelphia who is talking about all this outsourcing of jobs.
Right. I'll give you two quick examples, and then I'll finish up real fast. Close relative of mine was working for a company. Tata approaches them and basically says them to win the contract, how much we've got to pay you off. Consultants that used, who wanted me to find a job for him. Her name was Paula Esposito of New Jersey, was working at Prudential in Roseland, New Jersey on 9/11, and they were replacing all the Americans with Tata people. So they're watching on the TV monitors, the World Trade Center's collapse from 9/11. The Tata people start cheering and clapping to the American IT programmers saying, yeah, you guys deserved it. It's a long time coming. A few weeks later, they laid off all the American IT professionals there. They kept the Tata people. At the end of 6 months at that point, they found that the chief information officer of Prudential was getting kickbacks from Tata. They fired him and kept Tata to this day. So that's how it's working.
Wow. Now, I had James A. Otto on the program six or 7 weeks ago, and he talked about the same kinds of things.
Right.
And he's representing a lot of people who have lost their jobs in a lawsuit.
Yeah. If you look at the two guys at the top were Rajat Gupta, who just got convicted over the Goldman Sachs bond trading issue, and also it was Raj Rajaman. And where they started out was that McKinsey Consulting, which was directly resulted with the Enron fraud. They did not get prosecuted like Accenture, Arthur Andersen, because of what happened is MCI, WorldCom, brought the attention to prosecute them, and they were then put in a back burner. But by the failure to prosecute them, we can see that they continue their activity, illegal activities, to financially ruin this country all the way up to the mortgage-backed securities trading that we saw with the Goldman Sachs prosecution.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Art.
All right.
I didn't know that. That was quite interesting.
Yes, yes.
All right. Have a good one.
And it really is kind of similar to the situation that you were talking about earlier when you were talking about the tax farmers and how much they kind of assumed all of this control in the Ukraine. And then you were talking about the people who took over the they became customs agents in the Ottoman Empire. And there's some similarities between those two groups. Well, actually, all of this. I mean, they just...
There's a lot of similarities, isn't there?
Yes. Yes, indeed. All righty. Let's take Bill in Idaho. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hello, good morning, and thanks so very much again, Deanna. It's like a 8,700, 8,900 college course every time you come on the air with your guest, as well as your listener call-ins. Art is fantastic only by virtue of the fact that he alludes directly back to last morning on BBC, City of London's own representative nervously trying to explain how or why possibly they're going to have to move offshore. They are under deep, deep impact pursuit for the misprison, if not the combination, unlawfully performed, of course, by virtue of silent weapons for secret wars. My question to the guest, considering that history that you're describing so very accurately, can you relate by virtue of the original tribe's family, the biblical law by which they are presently in deep violation, and what zip code would you recommend for Nuremberg this time, considering never again?
How do you mean, sorry? What precisely are they up to?
Art was describing a very large, and it goes through several presidencies by history into a large militarized religiosity of dual combination, using both ends against the middle, the unaware, the uninvolved, the unwashed, and the uncaring as victims, but both ways, economically, politically, socially, as well as spiritually. That's a violation of biblical law.
Yes, it is. What I was going to say to that is that it's not only two ways, it's any number of hundred ways. Because in any given argument, there's always these different positions. And what you tend to find, and I think it was Jewish Tribal Review, which noted very, very well, there's a bunch of leftists who wrote an awful lot of very, very good anti-Jewish work, who said that, you know, it's amazing when you begin to look at these positions, like you get like the Polish American Society or something, which is avidly pro-Israel, and then you find out, oh, the head of the Polish American Society is a Jew. Well, okay. And then you find out that the head of, the Socialist Review or something is also Jewish. And you have, essentially, you've got a situation where people are stuck in the middle between an awful lot of different Jews, all clamoring for their attention and wanting to put forward their viewpoint. It's a big, it's kind of like a big chutzpah parade. It's quite strange.
Right. All righty, we do have to go to a break. Bill, you're welcome to stay over the break if you would like, and we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy? but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks. Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A one-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
Hey, John, how come you've got a Garden of Eden, and my backyard looks like Dante's Inferno?
Could be any number of reasons. Where did you get your seeds?
I bought the 24 variety kit from one of those guys on the internet. Got a great deal, too.
Well, it may be that your seed isn't suited for this area.
Isn't it all the same?
Heck no, man. My bank came from Texas Ready. They offer regional seed banks so that you can be assured of getting seed that will grow in your area. Not only that, all of their seeds are fresh. You're not going to get some seed that's been sitting around in a freezer or warehouse for the last couple of years.
Oh, crap.
Friends, don't be lassoed into a seed bank that may not produce well in your area. Go to TexasReady.net and order a northern bank for growing zones 3 through 6 or a southern bank for zones 7 through 10. That's TexasReady.net. Live where you will, but be Texas Ready.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Excuse me. My guest today is Carl Radolf, the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. And during the break, I looked up that that book that you recommended. I just got to scroll down here. Looks very intriguing. Reckless Rights, and it was written by Elliot Horowitz.
It basically offers a rationale for just about... it's mainly about Purim, so it's about what the Jews do when they supposedly get drunk and go around and find the Gentiles to attack. Pretty much is the thesis of the book. It talks about how the Jews are, causing problems, how the Jews have started to cause problems, how settler violence is linked to this, and the fact that the Jews in the settlements of Israel today go around, killing Palestinians on Purim. And then it will just be kind of covered up by the military. I mean, he says, he talks an awful lot about the concept of Amalek, and as well as a concomitant concept, which is less known, called the concept of the Agites, because Agag was the king of the Amalekites in the Bible. And that was, he discusses it at length and talks about, all the myths of history. He also talks an awful lot about host desecrations and how these actually have a historic basis. A good companion volume to that is Israel Jacob Yuval's Two Nations in Your Womb, which is University of California Press 2008, where he offers another rationale, a similar idea. But he talks about what has come to be known as the Ritual of the Curses. This has been hypothesized by Ariel Toef, among others, who the guy who published the book on Trenton was so attacked, and then he had to withdraw it and destroy it because it was reinvigorating what they call the blood libel. He basically develops this idea that the ritual of the curses, which is an occasional ritual found in Judaism, which does involve blood and sacrifice and that kind of thing, is actually the model for the ritual murders. I disagree in some respects, but in the same some others, I do agree that it's a plausible origin for the ritual murder accusations, and it also places them within the context of Jewish behavior rather than being some weird accusation that the Christians made up, apparently, which is basically the normal argument on this story. As I've documented, the first ritual murder is almost certainly not in this tradition at all, but rather it's just a bunch of Jews who were worshipping Canaanite gods, specifically Asherah or Astarte, and wanted to immolate a Greek man to that effect, which we find in the writings of Poseidonus and Apollonius Molon in the ancient world.
Okay.
It's kind of, I don't know if you read the article, but okay. It's just one of these things where Jews have claimed it's nonsense. But when you dig into it, you immediately notice that there is, if you know a bit about literature, you notice there are a couple of facts or assertions within the context that we find the claim that actually suggests that the claim is genuine. And in this case, it's because the reference to a wood. And, okay, the wood, what does that mean? Well, so in the Bible, we have references to what we call Asherah poles. They are places where the goddess Asherah was worshipped, and it became like goddess. And one of the ways that she was worshipped was that you would burn someone alive in a wood. And that's exactly what Poseidonus describes. He says, this is what happened. And this is what they were going to use this Greek man for, that they found that Antiochus Epiphanes found in the temple of Solomon. And of course, we know from the Bible that during Solomon's time, he reinstituted the worship of Canaanite gods because of his wives. And one of them was Asherah.
Right.
And that immolations did occur. So there you have the potential origin for the ritual murders. Well, the origin of the concept anyway. I'm not so sure about the cases that we have, but we don't have the break in historical continuity because we have cases of Jewish violence against Gentiles all through what is sometimes called the Dark Ages in the Islamic world and the Byzantine world, and then that violence then follows the Jews into Europe when the Jews really begin to come into Europe about the year around the millennium, about the year 1000. The Jews start really appearing in Europe again in numbers.
That's fascinating. I think we still have Bill on the line. Bill, did you have,
oh,
have some other comments and questions?
I think I was going to say that the interesting thing about what he said is that it's very, very old. For example, the Roman philosopher Seneca, you may not have read what he said about the Jews. It's in Augustine's City of God, if you want to read it. He says the conquerors have become ruled by the conquered. And in that reference, he's referring to the Jews. So he's saying the Jews have come to rule Rome. And that's in, of course, the first couple of years AD. This is not this is no laughing matter in many respects. And you also find the satirist Martial, you find Ovid, Horace, and others all mentioning the same problem, that you've got what they call God-fearers, the original concept of the Noahide, I might add, people who have sworn that they will follow the Jewish ways, and they will only worship the Jewish gods, and so forth. So they, as Tacitus says, they forswear their nation, they forswear their religion, they forswear their kin, they forswear even their families, and then they say, okay, I will serve Jews my whole life so that I can go to Gani Dan and miss out Gehenna. And you get this kind of situation where these people are subverting the Roman state, much as they're doing it today. When you talk of biblical laws, this is kind of the problem in that the Jews at this time were working to the Torah alone. So they were working on a lot of the very racial purist logic that you find in the Torah, that, you know, a Gentile cannot become a Jew. So instead, they have them become a Noahide now, but a God-fearer then. And then they work for the Jews, and in return, they go to heaven is the idea. And we know of some very prominent people who became God-fearers. For example, I think it was the third or the second wife of the Emperor Nero, Poppaea, was a God-fearer. And this may have been the reason that Nero actually killed her, because you had the revolt of the Clestians, not the Christians, I might add, the Clestians, followers of Clestus, whose Suetonius names as a Jew, and nothing to do with the Christian sect at this time, is part of all the argument that goes on around it. You have a situation where where Emperor Nero has just put down and burned a whole bunch of Christians, and then he finds out that his wife is a follower of this sect. So I would hypothesize that that may have had something to do with the famous story that Nero kicked her to death.
Fascinating stuff. Bill, did you have another question?
Well, absolutely. I concur absolutely. You folks are really something. It's an honor and a pleasure. I would only ask, considering Miss Deanna, I'm only receiving your disabled the on a micro, a kind gentleman from Vietnam era put up out of his own back pocket. It's 43 watts, so the excellence of the discussion, only met by the accent, there's considerable distortion. If you could get Dan to ship it, the titles to my librarian, he's got it. I'll immediately do it now.
Oh, okay.
But in Eye for an Eye, you had asked that we review Matroikin, and I did Matroikin in relation to Eye for an Eye. Was that purposeful? And I thank your guest so very much. But have you noticed how quiet SPLC has gotten and it's gone dark quiet? Have you noticed that? You have, certainly, of course, as observant as you are. But considering the heroine, Miss Deanna, of Eye for an Eye, you remember her name? Lola?
Oh, I don't.
Lola Potok. Lola Potok. Between your guest, Miss Deanna, as well as yourself, certainly, Art, I'm hoping that you three can do this again as soon as possible, considering you probably pro-offer the cutting of the Gordian knot at the racer today. It's just absolutely amazing the progress that is made when people of goodwill attack evil at its core, as one of our other excellent broadcasters mentions. Not hacking at the branches, but going right for the root.
Right. Well, we actually are going to do this again really soon because Carl's coming back tomorrow. So how's that for an immediate wish that we've granted you?
An answer to another prayer. Bless you both very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye, Bill. It's wonderful when you can do that, right?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of really nice when you're just going to be kind of a genie and you just go, here's your wish. Oh, I've gone to it. It's true.
I wonder, Christopher Columbus left Spain in 1492, and he was Jewish. And when he came over to the Caribbean islands, I believe that they practiced what might be ritual murder against the indigenous population, because they did burn a lot of people at the stake.
Yes, they did. They burned a lot of people. As for Christopher Columbus being a Jew, that's a very, very contentious one. It's an old one that Jews have argued for a long time, but the majority of Columbus biographers think he wasn't. They argue that the claim he is based on them sort of people sort of saying, okay, well, he's certainly associated with Jews. That we do know. But whether he was a Jew, is the evidence isn't particularly good. It's just people tend to assume that he was, as it was propounded. It was the favorite research topic of Simon Wiesenthal, oddly enough. This particular issue, he was devoted his life, devoted his spare time apparently to trying to prove it, but never could. But you could say it's a ritual, a form of ritual murder. But at the same time, burning people at the stake in various ways was actually quite a common way of killing people. Nero, for example, killed Jews in that way. He put them on crosses and burned them, along the Palatine Way. He literally just put them up on the crosses and burned them to the point where, even the people of Rome said, okay, you've killed enough of them now. But again, it points into the man's anger, at things. But in the New World, there was an awful lot of Jews, who went to the New World in 1492, after the Jews were banned were deported from Spain and then Portugal. And, you know, other European nations began to follow suit. And to the point where the Catholic Church ordered the Inquisition to go into the New World because there was a severe problem with all the Jews, all the Malanos who had converted to Christianity or claimed to have converted to Christianity during the years leading up to the expulsion, all of a sudden became Jews again in the New World. And this was against Spanish law. So the Inquisition went in to sort it out, but contrary to many, many claims on the matter, the Inquisition did not go after Jews who never converted. That was outside of their remit. That was the Spanish state that dealt with them, and it dealt with them relatively leniently for most of its life. And then with the LaGuardia case, it decided it had enough. They basically got rid of them. To the point where the Jews were given, I think it was a year or 6 months to just pack up and leave, all of them, and there would be no exceptions this time. That's rather unlike the famous deportation of Edward I in England in 1290, following another ritual murder case, or 1190 or 1290, I can't remember, whereby he actually allowed some Jews to stay. And, for example, the physician of Elizabeth I of England was a Jew, as were quite a few major players in the markets of the time in London, the Netherlands, and so forth. The actual an interesting name given to Jews at this time was they were called Portuguese, because there were so many Jews who came from the Iberian Peninsula, who were going around Europe and out from the world as well as merchants, because they also said they came from Spain, and people just assumed, okay, well, it's Portugal. They began to call them just called them the Portuguese. And when you referred to someone as a Portuguese, it actually means in the 17th to 18th century, as well as to the early 16th context, it means Jew. That's all it means. It doesn't mean this person's from Portugal. It means this person's actually Jewish, but they've either converted to Christianity or they've actually lapsed in Christianity and they've become Jewish again. And that's sort of the situation. That's the origin of that particular claim. Hence the Bevis Marks Synagogue in London, which is called the Spanish and Portuguese Congregation.
Fascinating.
That's the origin.
All righty. We do have another caller. Why don't we take Lark in Texas?
Well, hi, Deanna. Hello, Carl. Carl, it is, yes?
Yes, it is.
You mentioned Seneca earlier.
Now, yes, I did.
I'm assuming that you meant Seneca the Younger, the one that was forced to commit
suicide. Sorry, I didn't. Seneca the Younger, who's quoted in Augustine.
I see. You know something? I'm working on a thesis.
Yeah.
And that thesis is that, frankly, the entire colonization of the Americas ultimately early on, I'm talking about by the European peoples, was really a Jewish enterprise from the very beginning. And the reason I say so, and by the way, I've been a fan of the Jewish Tribal Review for several years, and I read, though, unfortunately, that they have stopped...
They stopped publishing some time ago, unfortunately.
Yeah, back in 2005, because they've come under attack by the Canadian Human Rights Commission, which is described in Wikipedia as a crypto-communist front group. So I thought you would find that interesting. I'm certain you probably knew of it. However, in the broadcast tomorrow, what would be pleasing to me is to help me flesh out my thesis. I honestly think that, for instance, the people that we call the Puritans.
Yes.
I think they came. This was a Protestant sect that emanated from the city.
Clark, hold that thought. We need to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back, and just stay over the break with us, okay?
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com, and he will be back tomorrow. And we also have Lark on the phone. And you were just in the middle of a question or a comment.
With your thesis, you might want to look at the current Prime Minister of Israel's doctoral thesis, which I think published in 1968, Benjamin Netanyahu's book on biography of Isaac Abrahamel, who was the chap who came over with Oliver Cromwell and who negotiated the Jews coming back to Britain and the rise of the Jews in the British Empire. He was also a very powerful Jewish rabbi in terms of his influence and his theological writings. And you might also want to look at the Judaizer heresy in Russia, which is from the 17th century, which is very, very similar to what you're talking about, as well as some of the earlier Judaizer heresies that you get before Luther. So the people who advocated a form of Protestantism, but that form of Protestantism was basically Judaism, and quite frequently you find Puritans, and there's one very famous case where a Puritan decided Jesus wasn't the Messiah anymore, and when he was about 80, he circumcised himself and became a Jew. And it's that kind of logic and thought that it causes you sometimes difficult to distinguish between Puritans and some of the more conservative and sort of biblical literalist rabbis and movements of that kind, like the Karaites, among others.
So in a nutshell, you're suggesting that my thesis has merit.
It has merit. I think the only thing you need to be careful is of not overstating it.
Well, so you need to be. I look at these things, these wrinkles in American history, Carl and Deanna. You know, when I was a kid, I read this thing called the New Testament, and I read about this figure, Jesus. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why it is that anybody would think this man was a socialist of any kind.
What, sir?
I couldn't understand why anybody calling themselves a Christian would think that he was advocating for collectivist philosophy, things like democracy, which is entirely false. Even Jackie Patru calls it merely a euphemism for communism.
Sure.
And then, too, when I look at people, groups like the Puritans, and I look at people like Cotton Mather and the Salem witch trials and these kind of things, and then listening to what you've uncovered with your scholarship, it just seems to me that the people in America today, for instance, that call themselves Christians, I think have been deceived in so many ways, and it's rather frightening because, I mean, when you consider the large numbers of Americans who call themselves Christians today, and, I mean, disregarding the obvious groups like the Christian Zionist, there you have it.
I'm sorry, we've run out of time. Mark, we can pick this up tomorrow.
Great.
Don't stay on the phone, though. Call back, and we'll continue tomorrow.
Thanks, everybody.
All righty. Take care. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye, Carl.
The next